Well, good morning. It's good to see you and good to be in the house of the Lord. And this week's been a busy week for me. I don't know about you, but my dad had a double knee replacement surgery. And so Mom gave me the task of updating Grandma Krozik on what was going on with Dad. And Grandma's 93 years old, so when I call Grandma, usually there's some off-the-wall funny question or comment or something that she asks. And for whatever reason, we started to talk about the Super Bowl. And Grandma loves sports, and for being 93, she's pretty perceptive to what's going on in life. And she says to me, "Is the Super Bowl canceled?" And I said, "Well, why would you think the Super Bowl is canceled?" And she goes, "Well, it's all over the news. These deflated footballs, they're cheaters. They're big cheaters. And the Super Bowl's been canceled." And I go, "No, Grandma, it's happening. It's happening." And so, anyways, that was the highlight of the week for me this week. The Super Bowl's been canceled because of deflated footballs. But, next week are starting a new series entitled Love Song, Love Song. And God knew what he was doing when he created love and sex. Amen? This is going to be a fun series. In fact, he wrote the book on love and sex, The Song of Solomon or The Song of Songs. And in this next series that we're going to start next week, we're going to talk about how to prepare for marriage as a single. How to prepare for marriage as a single. It's going to be a great message. How to fight fair. How to fight fair in marriage. How to engage in marriage honoring sex, how to engage in marriage honoring sex, and how to build a godly marriage, how to build a godly marriage. So I want to encourage you next week to come and maybe invite some friends, people here that you work with or in town. Just tell them, "Hey, we are going to talk about love and sex," and they will be here, right? We're like, "Man, I want to go to that church. I want to hear what they have to say." So, right, just tell them that. We're going to talk about love and sex for the next 5 weeks, and they'll be here. So, okay. Today we're wrapping up our series, Small Things, Big Difference. And you kind of saw in this opening video this lady kind of talking about that tension in her life of being disciplined. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We often look at people who are successful in life. They've accomplished more in life. And we wonder, what are the big things that they're doing to achieve that success? What big things are they doing in their life to achieve that success? And our main thought for this series has simply been this: it's often the small things no one sees that result in the big things everyone wants. It's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things everyone wants. In week one, I asked you to pray for one word, to ask God to give you one word that would direct your year to come. In week two, I prayed, we were to pray that you'd have one thought to add to that word. One thought that you would think over and over again until your mind is renewed, until it becomes truth in your heart and it changes the way you live. Last week, we talked about what kind of statement are you making with your words. Our words can be life-taking, or our words can be life-giving. And so what kind of words are you speaking to yourself, and what kind of words are you speaking to others? What kind of statement are you making? That was last week's message. Today, we are going to talk about the power of our habits. The power of our habits. We are what we repeatedly do. We are what we repeatedly do. And so I want to start by asking the question, how many of you would say that you're a highly disciplined person? You'd say highly disciplined, raise your hand, highly disciplined. How many of you would say not so much, raise your hand, not so much, okay? I would argue that you are disciplined. You are disciplined. In other words, there are some things that you're doing consistently. And there are other disciplines that you do that just aren't as good or helpful. But we're all disciplined in some ways. We're all disciplined in some ways. It's just that sometimes we're not doing the right disciplines. In fact, an overweight guy may say, you know, I'm not disciplined. All I do is eat, I hit the snooze button, sleep in, and play video games. And I would argue, well, wait a second. You have disciplined yourself to do exactly that. All right, so what is discipline? What is discipline? Discipline is choosing between what I want now and what I want most. For those of you taking notes there in the back of your bulletin, discipline is choosing between what I want now and what I want most. All of you are successful in an area of your life. There's some area of your life, you may say, no, I'm not, but you are. There's some area of your life that you are successful. And if you look in that area, you will find that you are doing some consistent disciplines. You may say, well, I have a good marriage. And if you have a good marriage, I promise you there are some things in that marriage that you're doing consistently. Maybe you sit down with your spouse every night at the dinner table and you have conversation. Or maybe you're in a small group with other couples, and so each week you're connecting with other couples in the Bible every 2 weeks. Or maybe there's a time where you just consistently get away with your spouse to reconnect. Maybe you're successful financially. You're successful financially. I promise you, you're living on less than you make. You're living beneath your means. You're generous and you're investing wisely, and you have some disciplines. You have some disciplines. Now, any area you're not succeeding in, you have some disciplines. However, they're just not the right disciplines. We can be so inconsistent in the right disciplines. For instance, you may say, you know what? I'm going to get up early this week and I'm going to work out. And so you do that Monday morning, you do it Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, you're like, man, my shoulder hurts. I'm going to rest today. My shoulder's bad. Thursday morning comes, you're like, man, it's cold outside. I can't get to the gym today. I think I'll just rest today. And before you know it, right, the rest of the week goes by, and that habit you formed of habit, you formed a discipline of not going. Maybe you decide, you know what, I'm going to eat well this new year. I'm going to watch everything I eat, and you do good all week long. And then Saturday rolls around, and you're running the kids to practices and things of the sort. And all of a sudden, you drive by the Golden Arches, right? And the Golden Arches is calling your name. And so next thing you know, you're supersizing everything once again. Well, the Apostle Paul in the Bible, he struggled with the same thing. Not eating Big Macs. He didn't struggle with that. He struggled with doing what he wanted to do. He struggled with doing what he wanted to do. And if you ever wonder why you're so inconsistent, let's look at what Paul says here in Romans 7. Romans 7, 19 through 23. He says this. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong, but it is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law. I love God's word. I love his commandments. I love God's law with all my heart. But there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. In other words, there's a war going on in my mind. I want to do the right thing, but I don't do the right thing. And this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. How would we translate that? Well, you might say, I want to eat an apple, but the Doritos keeps calling my name, right? I want to eat an apple, but the Doritos keep calling my name. You know, by nature, we're not self-disciplined people. By nature, we're not self-disciplined nature. We're not self-disciplined people. By nature, our sin pulls us away from what God wants. Our sin pulls us away from what God wants. In fact, Job said this in Job 5:7. He says, people are born for trouble as what? As surely as sparks fly up from a fire. People are born for trouble as surely as sparks fly up from a fire. Continuing on in Romans 7 verses 24 and 25. So Paul comes to this conclusion. He says, you know what? Oh, what a miserable person I am. What a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? I want to do the right thing. I don't do the right thing. I'm a bad person. That's what he says, right? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Who can help? The answer is not in a principle, but in a person. The answer is not in a principle, but in a person. With his help, I can be different. I can change. By his power, I can be transformed. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong appetites in me. Let me say that again. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong appetites in me. Listen, I am not self-disciplined. I'm not a self-disciplined person, but I became spirit-disciplined. Why? Why? Because the Spirit inside of me empowers me to do what I could not do on my own, what I was incapable of doing on my own. The Holy Spirit leads me to choose that which I want most over what I want now. For those of you who are believers, here's what you need to know. Well, let me just start with believers. What does that mean, a believer? Right? A believer is someone who believed that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and that he rose again on the third day. But it's not just a head knowledge, but it's a heart transformation. Right? It's a belief that I believe that God has saved me through faith alone in Jesus Christ, and I cannot add anything to what he did there on the cross. Right? We don't get into heaven by being a good person. If we could, then there was no reason for Jesus to die on the cross. So, for those of you who are believers, here's what you need to know. You have the same Spirit living inside of you that raised Christ from the dead. I want you to think about that for a moment. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you. What does this mean? What does this mean? Suddenly, your life that may look like it's going nowhere and is dead right now can be resurrected. Some of you have been trying to make changes in your own life for years. However, nothing's really changed. Well, today it's about to officially start. How? How? Paul talked to the Corinthians about running a race. Running a race. In fact, he compared this race to the games that they held there, which were a lot like our Olympics. And he did this to stir up their patriotic pride, but he did it for something much deeper. He wanted to go deeper than the games, and he wanted to make a comparison, and he hoped that they would get what he was talking about. In fact, he says this in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 and 25. He says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are what? There's that word, disciplined in their training. All athletes are disciplined in their training. What is Paul trying to say here? What's he trying to say? He says, you're not running to place. You're not running to place in this race. You're running to maximize the call of God on your life. You're running to maximize the call of God on your life. You're running to win. You're not running for a bronze. You're running for gold. Now, at that time, athletes were chosen for a 10-month training period. And this 10-month training period, man, it was a strict diet, no alcohol. They had to watch everything that they ate. They were serious. In fact, they would often expose the athletes to extreme heat or extreme cold. And you may say, well, why would they do that? So the athlete could perform in any conditions. Not only that, these athletes were so dedicated that they would strip off their clothes. Why? So that nothing would hinder them. Now, that's a mental picture, right? Not sure we want to linger there. But the author of Hebrews actually used that same picture. Hebrews 12:1. Let's look at that verse. He says this, "Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us," right? Praise God for dry fit clothes today, right? Right? So the author of Hebrews even borrows upon that image. Let us just strip off everything, all the sin that's in our life that's holding us back. Just get rid of it. Why did they do all this? Why do all this? Well, Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. He says, they do it to win a prize that will fade away. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for what? An eternal prize. They're running for a wreath of leaves. But we're running as followers of Christ, and we're living and running for an eternal glory to make his name known, to bring him glory, to stand in the very presence of God. That's why we're running. So suddenly, we're not self-disciplined, but spirit-disciplined. We have a secret weapon. And the Spirit helps us to overcome the power of sin. Continuing on in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 25 through 27. So Paul says, I run with purpose in every step. There's a purpose to what I'm doing. There's purpose to where I'm going. I'm just not running aimlessly. He says, I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm not just going through the motions here in this life, in this world, just, you know, punching a bunch of shadows. No. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might be disqualified for the prize. What happens when you get this? When the light bulb goes off in your head, what happens when you understand that there's more to life than the here and in the now? You know what happens? You'll say no to this food and yes to a better body. You'll say no to this financial temptation in order to get out of debt. You'll say yes to loving your spouse like Christ loved the church. You'll raise your children to love God and put him first. You'll wake up in the morning with purpose. You'll acknowledge that your life is not your own. You are bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You'll look for God to lead you in everything you do, and you'll begin to realize that God is the one ordering and directing your steps every day. Here's the thing. I am weak. Man, I am weak. I want what's easy, convenient, and makes me feel good. All right? That's me. All right? That's what I want. But more than that, I want to bring God glory. I want to bring him glory. Why? Because Christ lives in me. He lives in me. He will give me the power to do and choose what matters most over what I want now. He will. The power of sin to lure me to do the wrong thing is as real in my life as it is in yours. It is. The power of sin to lure me to do the wrong thing is as real in my life as it is in yours. On my own, I am very undisciplined. But by the power of Christ, I am disciplined when I tap into it. And so the question is simply this: what do you want most? What do you want most? Some of you may say, you know what? I want to lose 30 pounds. We'll write that down, right? Or I want to get married. Or I want to get closer to God. Or I want to break free from porn, right? Because it's wrecking my life right now. Or I want to get out of debt. Now, what one discipline will you add to your life to help you glorify God where you live? What one discipline will you add to your life to help you glorify God where you live? What do you need to do now to have what you want most? All right, the fill in the blank there. What do you need to do now to have what you want most? Think about that. What do you need to do now to have what you want most? You may want to get in shape. Well, maybe you need to hire a trainer, right? Maybe you need to read your Bible. So you know what you do? You go out and you buy a Bible. You get a translation that you can read and understand. I would recommend a New Living Translation, right? You buy a new Bible. You say, I'm going to start in the New Testament with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I'm going to read all the way through the book of Revelation. And you say, you know what? I'm going to ask two of my friends to do this with me. I'm going to ask one of my friends here at church if they will read through the New Testament with me. And when I finish and I get to the book of Revelation, I'm just going to loop back around and start in Matthew again until it becomes ingrained in my mind. Right? Till it becomes a thought in my mind, till it renews my mind, becomes truth in my heart, and it changes the way that I live. So it doesn't just go in one ear and out the other ear. But I'm going to meditate on God's word, and I'm going to spend time with him every day. Maybe you need to join one of these small groups out at the table out here. Right? You know you need to do it. Right? There's this pull. You're like, I know I should be here. I know this Thursday starts the men's group, A Man and His Traps, right? We all have things as men that weigh us down, get us down, pull us away, lure us away from what God wants us to do. But there's some pride in you that's like, I don't need to go to church. I already go once a week, twice a week. That'd be crazy, man. Right? But God's speaking to you. And that may be the one discipline you need to start. You need to be disciplined and say, you know what? I'm going to come here on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock, and I'm going to get together with some other guys, and I'm going to invest in my walk and my relationship with the Lord. You may need to stop playing around with your finances, right? And trust God with the tithe, right? Say, God, I know this belongs to you, but I've been holding on to this money like it belongs to me and like I've earned it and it's all mine. But I want to start acknowledging that you've given me the gifts and the ability to be able to earn this money, and it belongs to you. And so I'm going to get serious and I'm going to be disciplined in giving the tithe to you every week. Maybe you need to commit to a date night with your spouse. Right, you haven't been out on a date with your spouse and I don't know when. And so you're going to commit. You know what? Every Friday night, I don't care what's going on. We are going to commit. We're going to go out to eat. We're going to go to the movies. We're going to do something fun. We're going to spend time together and make sure that we reconnect. Maybe you need to clear every device you have so that you don't have access to porn. You may say, you know what, if I have access, I'm going to fall, I'm going to give into it. Right? Then just get rid of that device. You can survive without it, right? Or get covenant eyes, right? Find an accountability partner and covenant eyes. What's covenant eyes? Well, it reports every site you go to, right? I have two of my best pastor friends. If they see something inappropriate, a site that's questionable, they call me up and say, Ed, what were you doing on that site? Or why were you there? Right? Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to commit to praying with your kids. Every morning, starting the day off, just a 30-second prayer, right? Hey, kids, before you leave the house, we're going to ask that God directs our day today, that he leads our steps, and that his will is done in our life today. And at night, maybe you're just going to pray another 30-second prayer before bed. You say, hey, let's just give thanks to God for this day that he's given us. Let's give thanks to him, right? Here's the thing. You, in your own strength, you don't have the ability to do these things. I don't have the ability to do these things. But you know what? Christ in you and me does. He does, right? On our own? No way. But with him living inside of us, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, we have the ability. Let's review this series for a second. We're going to capture every rebellious thought that we have, and we're going to make it obedient to Christ. We're going to capture those thoughts that are rebellious to God and are leading us away from him, and we're going to make them obedient to him. We are going to speak life-giving words instead of life-taking words. That's the kind of statement we want to make with our life, a statement that says, I am for you. God is with you, right? We're going to speak positive to other people and to ourselves. Why? Because that's the way we want it. We're going to run with purpose in every step. We're not just going to shadow box and go through the motions. We're going to wake up with purpose, realizing that God is leading us in everything we do, and he is ordering and directing our steps. And so we're going to say, God, my life is not my own. I was bought at a price. You paid a price, your precious blood for me. And so lead me today. May my hands be your hands. May my feet be your feet. Who is it that you want me to share the love of Christ with today? Who is it that's far from you today that needs me to give them a hug or a call or a text or something to encourage them today and build them up? Show me that person, Lord. Bring them into my path that I may not get so caught up and wrapped up in my life that I'm so consumed that I forget about seeing anybody or anything else but myself. Help me, Lord. And we're not going to be self-disciplined, but Spirit-disciplined. And when we follow the Spirit, we will be faithful in the little things. And God says, when you're faithful in the little things, I can trust you with the big things. Right? Because we're not very self-disciplined. We're very undisciplined. But the Spirit living in us, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Right? Christ in us makes all the difference in the world. And so maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I don't believe Christ is living inside of me. In fact, when you talked about what a believer is, I've always believed that if I was just good enough, if I just worked hard enough, right, that I would have a relationship with him. But I realized that I don't have a relationship with God. If anything, I feel very distant from God, very disconnected from God. There's never been a moment where you ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins and you feel like you are in prison to sin. You relate to what Paul says, right? I know what the good I want to do, but I don't always do it. Well, you can't do it without his help. Right? You are incapable of doing it. But his power in you gives you the ability to be able to do what you couldn't do on your own. Right? Apart from him, you can only do one thing, live in sin. That's all you can do. But with him, you can break that power of sin, and you can choose what you want most over what you want now. Right? And what I want to most is to bring him honor and glory with my life. And you say, Ed, that's what I want. I want to bring God glory with my life. I want to honor him. So in a moment, if that's you, if you've never done that, then we're going to give you the opportunity to ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins and to be your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I struggle with doing what I know is the right thing to do. I struggle with it in the workplace, in my job, right, with my friends or in school. I know what I should be doing, but I just don't do it. It seems that more often than not, I give in to the flesh. Right? I go back to McDonald's or whatever it is, right? And I supersize it once again. And I've gotten into this pattern, into this habit, and I've created some unhealthy disciplines in my life. And I want to break free from that. I don't want to run just a place. I want to maximize the call of God on my life. I want to run to win. I don't want to run for the bronze. I want to run for the gold. I want Jesus to be first in my life. Right? I want him to become greater and me to become less. Would you pray for me that God would help me to break some of these habits, some of these disciplines that I've created in my life? Because I don't like who I've become. And I want to change. And I want to be able to tap into that spirit, the one that raised Christ from the dead. Because my life right now feels like it's going nowhere. It feels like it's dead inside of me. And I need to be resurrected. Well, let's pray. Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word. It alone has the power to transform us and change us. With your help, we can be different. We can change. We can be transformed. Christ in us is stronger than the wrong appetites in us. And when we tap into that power, we can be changed. We can be different. Some of you are like, you know what, I've been trying for years to change some things and nothing's really changed. Well, you know what, today's a brand new day. Today's a fresh start. If you're here with heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, Ed, I walked in here as a visitor today, or I've been walking in here the last month or 3 months or 6 months, and I got to be honest, my spouse dragged me here. I didn't even want to come here. But this message hit home with me. It hit home, and if I'm really honest, nothing's really changed in my life. I've had a head knowledge, but it hasn't become a heart knowledge, and that's because I haven't given him my heart. I've given him lip service. I've gone through the motions of the shadow boxing, trying to do it in my own strength. But I'm ready today. I'm ready to turn it over to the Lord. I want to give him my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. I don't even totally know what that means yet, and that's okay. Right? That's what faith is. It's stepping out. You're not going to know everything. That's what faith is, faith. You're like, you know what? I'm going to step out, and I'm going to trust God. I'm going to open my closed fist, and I'm going to open my fist so that my hands are open to what God wants for me. If that's you, then I just want to invite you softly and quietly to repeat these words in your heart after me, and here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I'm just like Paul. I struggle with doing what I want to do in my family, in the work, and I just find that I'm inconsistent in doing the right disciplines. I need to set some disciplines in our marriage. I need to do that date night. I need to get in that small group. I need to commit my finances to the Lord. I need to pray with my kids. Would you pray for me, Ed? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that you would give them the discipline, that they would realize that they are now spirit-disciplined and not self-disciplined, that the same spirit that raised your son from the dead is living inside of them, and they can now choose what they want most over what they want now, that they can choose what is better, that they do have an option, that they're not a slave to the power of sin anymore, but that your spirit has enabled them to overcome what they were incapable of doing on their own. Help them, Lord, to run with purpose in every step, to realize that you are the one ordering and directing their steps, that it's not an accident that they're here today, that you wanted them here for this day to hear this message. Help them, Lord, so that they no longer beat themselves up internally, but that they realize that they have been set free by you and that they have the power to overcome the sin that has held them back in their life. Empower them, Lord. Lead them, guide them, direct them, and may your will be done in their life and in my life and in this church. We pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.